Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 30th of October, recording at 17:14 p.m., and that's at Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this is an earlier broadcast than usual, as I'd mentioned in last night's audio, because I do have a function this evening, but this being the Friday big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, we take a broader look, Owen and I, on the Friday audios, so we don't need the last minute of up-to-date price action, I trust. Now, first, a quick review of the week. And as far as global stock markets are concerned, they've been on the defensive for the most part. There was an exception yesterday when Wall Street and the European markets rallied sharply, but those gains are being reversed in here today. So stock markets mostly weaker. Long-dated government bonds, somewhat firmer, bond prices, that is, firmer against that background. In currencies, the dollar has been steadier, with the exception of yesterday's action when stock markets in the Americas rallied. And precious metals have been on the defensive during the stock market correction, and with the dollar firmer. Again, yesterday was an exception, but a good portion of those gains that were seen yesterday have been retraced in here today. Commodity markets in general have encountered some overall profit taking, again, yesterday being an exception. Okay, so what's going on here overall as far as the big picture is concerned? Well, in terms of stock markets, I think the story, as we've seen so far this year, was a spectacular rally from very, very depressed levels when investors were fearing a depression, just as they had after the 1987 crash, and a better parallel after the 1974 collapse in stock markets. Back then, as we saw this time last year, people were saying it's the end of capitalism as we know it, or I will never trust the stock market again. We're going to see a global depression. Well, what did stock markets do? Defied the skeptics and made the forecast look silly as markets bounced back very, very strongly. And we have seen at least a stronger rally. I think we've seen a stronger rally, particularly since the March lows, than we had in those other two previous instances that I mentioned, 1987 and 1974. And that was achieved not because the global economic outlook is better. Arguably, it is less good or worse, depending on how you see the glass. It's either half full or half empty. But the rallies have been better because we have seen record levels of monetary reflation. And they say these are totally unprecedented, including massive amounts of quantitative easing, which continue in some centers here today. So that's the reason why we've seen this great big rally upwards in stock markets. But if you look at the charts, and we're always recommending that subscribers do that, and particularly if you look at the weekly charts and add a 200-day moving average to the weekly charts of various stock market indices, you will see that we saw quite an overextension relative to those rising 200-day moving averages. And as you're looking at weekly charts, or if you look at a 10-year monthly chart and apply the same moving average, you'll see that during the last bull market cycle, basically from March 2003 into 2007, that we had at least a couple of mean reversion reactions back towards that 200-day moving average. Now, we haven't seen that with the exception of China in this cyclical bull market that is underway. And the overextensions, as I say, are quite pronounced. Now, recently, we have seen stock markets lose upward momentum and begin to register some bigger reactions than we've seen since the July reaction lows. In fact, most stock markets have seen the pullback, the biggest pullbacks since that period in June and the first half of July, when markets were under a bit of selling pressure. So we have seen similar sized reactions or bigger in a number of instances, and we're not yet through this process. So I think this will represent a phase of increased volatility where we see some of the strongest stock markets just ranging primarily sideways in a lengthy consolidation, lengthy meaning can go on for a number of weeks and perhaps a few months of sideways ranging activity, and that allows it to become less overextended relative to those rising 200-day moving averages. And it's a breather, in other words. The majority of stock markets will combine that ranging phase with a downward reaction bigger than they have seen previously. And I'm thinking 10% or a bit more for the developed country stock markets. And I think somewhat more for some of the emerging stock markets. And then there will be a few, perhaps, which, having just gone straight up, come straight down and don't see that much ranging activity, but get a sharp reaction, again, towards the rising 200-day moving averages before then ranging sideways at a somewhat lower level in a consolidation. Now, that might sound fairly frightening. I think it is as you live through it. I don't think it is in terms of the long-term scheme of things. I'll even risk all by using that term that is so often greeted with derision and call it a healthy correction. Markets ran ahead of themselves. They need to pull back and consolidate those gains, let the fundamentals catch up a bit before they can go on and extend the overall bull run. Now, why should they go on and extend the overall bull run? Well, a lot of people feel that the economic recovery will continue, and I think we can look forward to a good quarter in 4Q this year and 1Q next year. But that's primarily because economic activity all but stopped back in the fourth quarter of 2008 and the first quarter of this year. So the actual percentage year-on-year gain that occurs is going to be good, but it's also going to be a bit misleading. But the broader point, though, is that we are seeing a recovery in response to all that quantitative easing, that it has worked. I'm talking about the economic recovery right now, and I don't see any reason why it should not continue, because the factors that would halt it are not evident. And having mentioned the quantitative easing, what we can probably expect over the next year, and what we already see, is that some of the stronger economies, and when people were talking about depressions, they assumed that because Wall Street in the UK, for instance, had been at the epicenters of that whole credit crisis and insolvency, that the rest of the world was similarly affected. Well, it wasn't. And from China to Brazil, you had important countries in the G20 that really sidestepped that recession entirely. They just saw growth recessions, if you will, slower rate of growth. So those countries are moving first to rein in, not radically, but gradually, some of the excess monetary reflation, which they deem as being no longer necessary. Now, every country with a central bank, with an independent central bank, will take a different stance on that in all probability. But what we can pretty well assume going forward is that we will have a less radically accommodative monetary policy, and that we will have a little bit of tightening. To the extent to which that is a headwind remains to be seen, but I think it's partly psychological. People will see that the game is changing, and so that will make investors a little bit more cautious. What central banks actually do, I think, will also depend to a considerable extent on events. If, for instance, the oil price was spiking higher, the gold price was spiking higher, they might be more conservative in their monetary policies. If, on the other hand, the stock markets are in a corrective phase and the commodity prices are not racing higher, then I think they'll be more tolerant and or more willing to leave the accommodative monetary policies in place, or to rein them in on a more gradual basis. So net it all out, and I think we've got a recipe here for volatility. The reactions that we've seen are likely to continue, and they will be in the form, as I've already said, of either ranging patterns for some, or but most markets ranging with a downward bias, and we'll get some sharper corrections as well. I think that's the outlook over the next few weeks and possibly longer. I think because the overall monetary policy is likely to remain accommodative, and because we do not have bubble problems in any stock markets at this stage. Yes, valuations became a little bit overextended. Maybe some of the commodity gains became a little bit overextended, but it would be premature to be talking about any serious bubbles that needed to be addressed. So, for that reason, I think that we're unlikely to see more than an interruption in this cyclical bull market, and therefore, I do think that in the new year, if not sooner, that we are likely to see new highs for most stock market indices. But we can pretty well forget about another runaway advance similar to what we saw off the lows. I think we'll get a more sedate, ranging, overall type of environment in which share selection may become more important. And it's probably going to favor bigger companies, value companies, companies that are also in a position to increase dividends. But there'll be plenty of time to assess that as we go forward. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds, which I refer to almost daily as canary in the coal mine, the yields, I think, would be a lot higher than they are today if it were not for the quantitative easing. And as central banks ease back on that, I think we will see yields pushing upwards. As they do that, I think initially that will create a bit of a tailwind for stock markets as some money comes out of both government and corporate bonds and goes into equities, but eventually rising long-dated bond yields would become a headwind for stock markets. But I think we're a long way away in terms of that becoming a problem. That's something that could possibly become a problem in at some stage in 2010, but it may take even longer than that. It depends on events that I don't think anyone can foretell at this stage. In terms of the U.S. dollar, we see a technical rally here at this stage. I don't want to be too bearish of the dollar when I see it within striking distance of its historic lows. On the other hand, I can't think of a good reason for a major dollar rally, other than a bigger stock market correction than I think we're likely to see. In other words, when we had the meltdown last year, carry trade positions were unwound, the dollar and the yen soared. Could that be repeated? Well, yes, theoretically, but I regard that as very much a minority chance. I would put that at probably less than 30%. Can we get technical rallies from oversold conditions? Yes. And while the case for, or the bullish case for a dollar on fundamental economic grounds is hardly appealing, it is also a case of which not just of what does the dollar look like in terms of background, but what about the other currencies? And we remain in an environment where no country wants a strong currency. As Owen and I have said on many occasions, it's just that some countries need weak currencies more than others. And the two countries, two big countries in terms of economic size, that need weak currencies most, in my view, would be the US, thus the weakness of the dollar, and also Japan. And I think that the yen should probably weaken more than the dollar over the next number of months, and there may well be short potential. I think there should be definitely be short potential potential there. So I'm a bear of the yen, and I've reined back my bearishness on the US dollar, but I'm far from far from a bull. The currencies that I like the most are Latin American currencies, because the resources producers are doing very well. I like the Asian emerging market currencies. The renminbi is certain to be revalued upwards at some stage in 2010. It'll probably be a controlled move. Unfortunately, it's one that's not easy to participate in. Otherwise, I would want to be positioned for that eventual upward move in the renminbi, Chinese renminbi. I would want to be positioned for it. So that's also, I would just mention that resources currencies in general, I think, will remain steady overall, but they have had terrific rises, and that is already causing some verbal intervention on the part of their respective central banks. So if we get one big move in currencies, or one of the bigger moves, I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't in a firmer renminbi and also a weaker Japanese yen. And I think that whether or not those two moves occur remains to be seen. It's partly up to the central banks, but they're certainly justified, particularly in the case of China, but they're certainly justified by economic conditions. Precious metals. Now, we are still in a situation where they are dependent on increasing confidence generally, a return of animal spirits. In other words, when stock markets go up, the commodity markets have tended to firm, and certainly the precious metals have tended to firm, and vice versa. So when stock markets correct, we tend to see gold weakening a little bit. That won't go on in perpetuity, but the gold market is not yet strong enough to rally independently of global stock markets for very long. I think that will change at some point in the future and eventually lead to a very strong upward move in gold. Meanwhile, we are in a period that is seasonally favorable, but those seasonal factors may not apply this time around. In other words, the Indian wedding season is not such a big factor because gold is more expensive for Indian buyers or potential Indian buyers than it was in the past. Ditto American buyers or North American or sorry, I should say UK buyers. So the demand in the run-up to Christmas, the jewelry demand, is not likely to be as strong as it was in the past. And the gold market is heavily dependent on investment demand. That will continue to grow overall, I believe, but not at a breakneck speed. So we're still in a secular bull market, I feel, but it's not showing any signs of turning into a runaway bull on the upside. You know, we have a lot of forecasts for 2010 saying that the price of gold will go to 2,000 or more, well, dollars. I'd like to see that, but I don't see any evidence yet that we will see that type of strength. I think we're more likely to see the continued moderate rate of appreciation. And I would expect that for most of the industrial commodities as well. The one to watch most closely, and a number of the agricultural commodities, there are supply and elasticity issues here. Demand will creep up as the global economy improves. It will not be that easy to overcome the supply and elasticity issues for either agricultural commodities or industrial commodities, because the credit problems have made it harder to gain financing for various projects. So the stronger the global economy is, the more we're likely to see the emergence of supply and elasticities, problems for various commodities, creating more backwardations, whereas we see mainly contangos in here today. Now, the most important commodity, of course, in terms of its overall global influence, by far and away, is the price of crude oil. And if the world's lucky, we get a very moderately rising crude oil price. I don't think we get a declining crude oil price for very long. Unless I'm way too optimistic and the global economy goes back into recession. Some people fear that, but that's the only, I do not, or I do not think that's a likely, at all likely scenario for 2000 and 2010. Therefore, I do see demand for crude oil gradually picking up. Meanwhile, currently, crude oil is consolidating, I believe, in the low $80 to mid $70 region. But if the world's lucky, it will move higher slowly, rather than quickly, a spike upwards in the price of oil. A spike much over $100 is and let alone something like the 147 that we saw last year, that would completely change the economic game. Spikes in crude oil, as I've said on so many occasions, have always caused global recessions. I think a spike is unlikely, but the primary direction, or unlikely anytime soon, but the primary trend and direction, therefore, is upwards. And I think that's pretty much it. That's an early wrap here, and I'll just say to all of you, have a superb weekend. All the best.